Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
The winner of this one will play Miami in South Florida. Levine and one. Levine off the curl, guarded by the shorter Van Vliet, raises up and knocks down the mid-range jump shot. They send Levine baseline. He gets around it. DeMar on the cut and the punch. Say it with your chest. Here's Levine. Wow, he pulls for a three. Got it! Zach Levine coming alive in the second half. Levine going to work. Tough pull-up. Wow, man. He's hotter than fish grease. Zach Levine having himself a second half. Van Vliet fires the three off the mark. And this one is over. Chicago is headed to South Beach.
And welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay. We got Jay Moore. We got you for a three-hour ride in this Deal Breakers Thursday. What open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching the show and all the shows here on ESPN 1000. And it happened yesterday, Cap, in Toronto, on the road, hostile environment. Not just one set of fans, two sets of fans in Toronto, outside and inside. And the Chicago Bulls, 40-42, going to this play-in game. You're thinking that this is going to be the end. This will be the last time we see the Bulls. And all of a sudden, they find a way, down 19, to come back and win the game 109-105 against Toronto.
You know what the amazing thing is? We've seen this team come back from big deficits and blow big leads. Part of what the NBA does.
Yeah.
I was at the game. You remember this 2 weeks ago when they were 23 down to the Grizzlies and blew them out.
Yeah.
They never quit. They just, I think, are a poorly constructed roster to win a championship. Those are two different arguments here. I'm watching that game last night, and I'm amazed at the number of people who should know better in an NBA game throwing in the towel and taking, just firing on Twitter. I'm going to read you one or two of these.
Sure.
This guy tweets, extended the head coach in secret, chose continuity again at the deadline, waited till deep in the buyout market to get a point guard, get ass beat in the play-in. A head has to roll here.
Okay.
I tweeted back and said, win in the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back with reverse jinx. That was Norling!
I'm undefeated. The reverse jinx is undefeated.
No, actually, we're good, Shay. We're good. For a tournament that you don't care about, an NBA you don't care about, let the basketball people talk. Go ahead, Cap. What else do you have?
I get another one from a fine listener who's telling me, Peter, our guy from Miami, waiting to hear you go off on this piece of blank team in the front office that needs to go, and I'll be listening tomorrow to ask Hoodie about his the Bulls will win take. Folks, this is what the NBA is, and the Bulls never quit. You got to give Billy Donovan props because they made some really good adjustments last night. Defensively, that team played as connected as I've seen. Zach LaVine played like a different player last night, attacking downhill to the degree that he did. Even DeMar said after the game, my guy was on a heater. I had to get the ball to him. Mm-hmm. Like, DeMar was getting opportunities for his mid-range and giving it up. Giving it up. That team had a compete level in the second half that was impressive. Does it mean they're going to win the NBA title? No. But in the context of what we watched last night, that was a hell of a lot of fun.
Well, it's no surprise as veteran observer of the basketball scene that the Bulls were able to win yesterday. Again, they were 5.5-point underdogs, and they deserved that. Vegas gave them what we've been seeing all season, and that's less than mediocre basketball. At 40-42, it says all you need to say. I just knew internally that the Raptors have some issues, and that the Bulls, if they shot the ball well, and if they played the defense that we've seen in the second half, that the Bulls would win the game. And they won the game. The distinguishing characteristic of that game is not Zach LaVine. It's not DeMar DeRozan. It's not Vucevic.
I know.
It is DeAr DeRozan. Because DeAr DeRozan, the daughter of DeMar DeRozan, she's my MVP. She's the reason why the Bulls won that game. There's nothing like the youthful exuberance of a young child watching a game and feeling like, if I scream loud enough, I am going to help my team win. We all went through this as kids. If I wave my arms, or if I cheer real loudly, if I stomp my feet, I'm going to get a chance to help my team win. And by the way, that's not just with young people. That's adults, too. You'll get jackaloons like me and Cap and everybody else that's listening right now that will scream and yell. They'll pound their hands against the glass. They'll pound their hands against the glass at Hawks games. They'll say what they need to say against the opposition just to feel like that you're part of the team, feeling like you're going to help them win. Well, DeAr DeRozan, how fantastic was she, Cap, where it's one thing for the Raptors to miss free throws, but every time that the Raptors are going to the foul line, more times than not, they're missing your foul shots, and little DeRozan's yelling right before the free throw, trying to distract him.
It was awesome.
So awesome.
I believe I have this stat right. That's the first time since 1969 that a team shot 50% from the free throw line in a win-or-go-home game.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they were horrific from the line.
36 screams from young DeRozan, 18 free throw misses. 36 screams from her, 18 free throw misses. Now, again, is that a correlation? Yes and no, tongue in cheek. But it's fun. Because when people say, oh, I can't believe that she was doing all that screaming. Can you believe that? Well, you know what? There's adults that do the same thing. They're not throwing out of games. It's just part of fandom. And she's part of fandom, too.
You've called as many basketball games over the last 30 years as I have.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands. Have we not seen? You've seen this, where they'll hold up posters of beautiful women in bikinis.
Yeah.
They'll have those thunder sticks that they'll wave them.
Yeah.
It never works.
No.
This young lady was awesome. And then after the game, DeMar said, she's got to go to school. She will not be in South Beach on Friday.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. You're telling me we either can't do the class remote, or she's going to class, and then we get her on Jerry Reinsdorf or somebody's plane and get her down there. Game's at 7.
She begged and pleaded because he did not want her to go from home, which I believe is Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she's going to school in Los Angeles to go to Toronto. We're not going to fuel up the PJ for you to go to Toronto, hon. You got to go to school. Please, Dad. I want to help the team win. I want to be there to support you.
How about her outfit? She's all dressed in Bulls gear. Like, the whole family's all in on this. It was really cool.
That's about a $5,000 jacket.
Yeah, no question about it. But when you make
bedazzled,
when you make $200 million in your career or whatever he's made, you can afford it.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really cool. And then watch the replay of he and Zach doing the interview with Cassidy Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes over, tries to hug him, and he's soaked in sweat. She's like, ugh.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, it was just so good.
It's just funny. And again, she's no different than many of us as fans. Mm-hmm. Getting into the games, like, I'm going to make sure I distract these guys. When they're on my end, where I'm sitting, I'm going to scream and yell and help my team win, help my dad win. I mean, she was, every time the Raptors went to the foul line.
Particular game, if he steps the wrong way or something.
Visit to Florida State. Asked me, what did you, Patrick said, I was down for whatever Coach Hamilton. Underrated passer, doing a nice job.
In terms of the total number or the quality of shots, I'm comfortable with
it. Tell me, life is really good for him right now. He's in a good headspace coming in.
Guy who the handle is maybe not as
tight. A 20-point advantage.
This guy thinks he can do more offense.
Now, what's interesting about that is that, of course, DeRozan, still beloved, by the way, in Toronto for his days in the Raptors, there's not going to be a Raptors fan that's going to say, all right, that girl, because they still respect him there.
They love him. He said, there's the one thing before the game. He said this, today's what, Thursday? Mm-hmm. I lose track of the day.
Yeah,
Tuesday, Thursday. He said, they're never going to hate me in Toronto. They love me there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And they respect DeRozan. It's just, to me, the whole thing was fun. But to get into the weeds and the basketball side, Cap. Okay, so what really resonated with me is the Bulls defense. Okay, that is Alex Caruso. That is Patrick Beverley, the tip of the spear as far as the perimeter defense
and
is
Williams,
concerned.
And Patrick and Williams. Patrick Williams was outstanding defensively, and Caruso and Beverley.
Well, you like him having the balls to say, you know what? All right, Siakam, let's go. Top of the key, let's go. I'll defend you on the perimeter, utilizing his wingspan, his length, to be able to slow down or stop those shots or the passing ability to get inside.
So in the first half, I'm watching. First of all, Zach started slow, wasn't making shots. Bulls are not getting opportunities from three. And when they did, they weren't converting them. And they made the switch at halftime. Caruso's trying to guard Siakam. And Caruso's an excellent defender, one of the best in the league. Siakam's going up over the top of him.
Yeah.
And he had what? 20 in the first half?
Yeah.
He's on his way to a 40-some point game. And they switched. And Patrick Williams, as you just said, I got him.
Yeah.
Did a really good job at getting into his body and forcing him off his spot. Look, Siakam's a really good player. Really good. Career high average in points this year.
Yeah.
But I thought their defensive connectivity, and when I say that, I mean, it's not, I got you, and Shea's got Jay Moore, and whatever happens. No. You have to be able to, I got you, but I'm going to help you if you get beat. Like, that takes a lot of practice. I was really impressed last night. Great adjustments. Great game.
Cap and I have so much more to talk about this game as the Bulls win the first play-in game against the Toronto Raptors 109-105. Bulls win last night was DeMar's daughter, the MVP, DeMar DeRozan. Was she the MVP? Also, does last night count as a big moment for Zach LaVine? Let's get your phone calls in here, Shay. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Checkmate 1-6, suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Still to come, Deal Breakers. If it's Thursday, it's Deal Breakers. We'll have that for you coming up at 8:35. Shot or No Shot brought to you by
the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. You like to play the ponies like I do, and Derby Day is coming up for Saturday in May. Get on the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How are we? Everybody's excited after a big Bulls win last night.
Just excited that that we had a good sports night. Doubleheader of NBA. Yeah. And then he got baseball, especially your team.
Yes.
The Cubs.
Yes. By the way, I have a quick question. Brian on Twitter gave it to me. Mm-hmm. Can you ask Hoodie or Shay or Jay Moore, can a vegetarian eat an animal cracker?
We're going to hook you up with that old lady. That old doddering lady. We got a mate for you. Ask her. I think she'll have an answer.
Take that. All right, let's go.
All right, boys, let's get to Shot or No Shot. According to Greg Gabriel, the Bears were in attendance at Wisconsin's Pro Day for the sole purpose of watching center Joe Tippmann. Center and right tackle seem to be the last components of the offensive line we don't have a player established to, but Cody Whitehair has been suggested at center despite some lacking success at the position. Shot or No Shot. The Bears deep diving for centers is a sign Whitehair is going to get cut.
That's a shot. Mm-hmm. Absolutely a shot. Because if he's not starting at one of the two guards, and Tevin Jenkins said he's moving to the left side, so the young man we just signed out of the Tennessee Titans organization is starting at the right side, they're going to probably draft an offensive tackle, maybe the kid from Tennessee, to play right tackle. They've got Braxton Jones at left tackle. You're not paying Cody Whitehair to be a swing guy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to talk swing tackles on this show, but we are.
But we talk swing tackles.
But I would think he's absolutely got a chance to be cut. And you also have Lucas Patrick in the mix.
I think that is a shot, as a matter of fact. And again, I am not tethered to most players on this roster because when the Bears start winning, and hopefully there'll be a perennial winner cap, a lot of those guys that we like probably won't be here. And the Whitehair is one of them.
Yeah, good guy. He's had a nice run. Mm-hmm. Successful pick. He was a second rounder who's been around a while, but he makes a lot of money.
Yes, he does, sir. So I think it's a good point. I think it's a shot because we talked about this a lot already, Shay. The when you look at the offensive line and trying to figure out, okay, where does Whitehair fit? We kind of skip him. We go to Tevin Jenkins. We talk about some of the new players that's on this roster. But I think that if they turn the page on Whitehair, would not surprise me. So that's a shot. Shay.
All right. Yesterday, former number one prospect for the Mariners, Jared Kelnick, who has spent the start of his major league career kind of mired in mediocrity, and that might even be generous. Mm-hmm. He's been terrible. But he's off to a nice start this year. He turned around a Julian Merriweather fastball to the Tune Kaplan of 482 feet to dead center. He reached the upper deck bleachers at the friendly confines. It is the longest home run ever hit at Wrigley Field in the StatCast era. Shot or no shot? Major League Baseball juiced the baseballs.
No shot. The guy's a beast. And Javi Baez, he beat by 1 foot. And there was no juiced baseballs back in 2015 when that happened. 1 foot. No, they're not juiced. No shot.
I don't know. Did you hear the hit with Connor yesterday? He said it kind of between the lines, like maybe the ball is a tennis ball now. It wouldn't surprise me. You can't be surprised at that if you did find out it was juiced, right? I mean, we've seen this before.
Yeah, nothing would shock me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say no shot that it's juiced. That guy's just strong as hell. Did you see the home run he hit the other night? Banged off the video board in right field. I almost said Philip Fulmer. That was the coach of Tennessee. Michael Fulmer.
The big coach from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Philip Fulmer. We're going to get it done. Go Vols.
Go Vols. Rocky Top.
I'm going to put your memory to the test here as a former vendor and as a Cubs fan. So it's reconfigurated, the outfield in Wrigley Field. It's not what it was when we were kids. Mm-hmm. So where is that ball when you were a kid? 495. Is that on the street? That hit the scoreboard? That
the 482-footer yesterday?
495, whatever it was?
482.
482?
Yeah.
Where is that in the old configuration? Does that hit the scoreboard or is it on the street?
No, it would never. No one's ever. The only person ever to hit the scoreboard. Here's your piece of trivia when you go to work today. Sam Snead, I believe, the golfer, with an 8-iron from home plate.
So what was it
the
like?
Golf ball.
What was it like when you covered it? You covered that event, did you not? No?
No.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Hmm.
I didn't. I had my understudy covered.
David Schuster.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to know, like, where would that be, Cap?
That would have gotten to probably in same general area, upper portion of the center field bleachers.
But it wasn't that before when you were a kid, right? Isn't that new?
No, that was there.
All the way up there where he hit?
Yeah, and nobody used to hit it up there. This is a little closer, but it would never have hit the scoreboard. No chance. Scoreboard hasn't been really moved. Mm-hmm. It was there. They built around it.
Well, the answer is shot. Major League Baseball would not surprise me, but that was a jaunt. Whether it is a tennis ball or not, that was a hell of a hit. And wind blown. Don't forget about that, too. Wind was blown out for the Mariners yesterday.
Yeah, but that ball was...
Oh, man.
He hit, I don't know, 1,100 feet in three home runs in the series. Crushed.
It'd be nice to see him put it together. He was seen as a kind of generational type prospect and then just has been terrible in his time in the majors.
Because the Cubs beat down the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners actually needed that win as they go into their series against Colorado.
Correct.
Yeah, they needed that win.
Well, you go quickly. Shot or no shot, Kaplan, the Cubs are still a playoff team.
Yeah, shot. What do you think? One loss? Think I'm you?
Want to make sure? No, react. Yeah. Hey, listen, you're the flipper. I just want to make sure we're still in the same spot.
No, I am not. That nonsense is stopped. No, there's no flipping. Go Cubs, go. Correct.
No flipping, huh?
No.
Okay.
All right, that you know of.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, all I know is that I was sitting right next to you at Old Crow, and you had perspective that the team would be good in 24.
I do think they'll be good in 24 and 25. We just have arrived a little earlier.
Oh, really? You're used to that.
Correct.
Dodgers are coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's your test, pal. Not Oakland, but the Dodgers. They'll tell you where you are.
Go in and find a way.
Find a way. Okay. All right. Good luck. All right, Jay.
All right, I got Cap in a good mood for this question. Barstool Sports yesterday, I had this sent to me by like 15 people who demanded I ask Cap about this. Wrote an article about the movie Draft Day saying it's Kevin Costner's worst sports movie. I'll read a little bit from this. As far as Draft Day goes, it's at the bottom of the list for the king of sports movies, Kevin Costner. In fairness, he's made more good sports films than anyone else, but this was the rare misstep. The trades in the movie are insane, and the plot points are either lazy or stupid. How else do you explain Frank Langella leaving the draft in NYC and making it back to Cleveland in three picks when you've made Field of Dreams, Bull Durham, Tin Cup, and For the Love of the Game? That's admittedly a tough bar. Shot or no shot, Draft Day is Kevin Costner's worst sports movie.
No shot. That movie's a classic. It's awesome. Look, yeah, he should know who. What's the name of that new GM in Jacksonville? Some of that stuff's stupid. I get it.
People not knowing that Seattle had the number one pick in the war room?
No, they knew that Seattle. They didn't know who's picking at number six. Who's got the sixth pick? Jacksonville. What's the name of that kid GM they've got? And he gets the name wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stupid. I get that. It entertains me. I like it. Movies are subjective. You can like what you like. You like that awful movie that won Best Picture this year. Horrible movie.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
I didn't think it was great, but I don't think it was horrible.
Best Picture? Oh my God, the Academy must have been blind. But again, it's subjective. For me, Draft Day is awesome.
Shay.
No shot for you, Woody?
The question was directed to Cap, so I don't have to answer.
Vontae Mack.
Everybody wanted to ask Cap the question about Draft Day just to tweak him, so
yeah,
I'm not in it.
Whatever. So. Welcome to my life.
Yeah.
They think I pay attention to all that.
Wait a minute.
I laugh.
Okay. Shay.
All right. Warner, the media company, made a very interesting decision yesterday regarding what is basically their only profitable product at this point. Streaming service HBO Max is undergoing a rebrand. They're combining HBO's content with Discover's content, and they're naming it simply Max. Shot or no shot, this is the dumbest rebrand ever.
That is a shot. Not ever, but I understand the point. HBO still matters today, Cap. Still matters today. HBO. They still have hit shows. They were the king of cable sports once upon a time outside of ESPN. HBO with their documentaries, all of that. And that's still going on, but just the renaming, moving HBO out of the way and just calling it Max. Somebody at a certain age will look at this and say, is this a rebranding of Cinemax? Skinemax? Is this what this is? No. HBO, those three letters still matter in cable and streaming.
They matter maybe more than any other three letters at this point, except the networks who have the NFL. But if you don't have the NFL, it's the networks and then HBO.
I think that's correct. I think that's correct, actually. Think about all the powerful three letters out there. And Shay nailed it because he's talking about the sports aspect. The NFL never thought they'd be on every network. Think about this, Cap. We'd see the NFL only on CBS and NBC when we were growing up. Remember this?
Yes.
Only two networks.
Yes.
AFC package would be on NBC.
Yes. With Charlie Jones.
And Merlin Olsen.
Correct.
And you'd get the CBS package, Brent Musburger, Irv Cross, right? This is where we saw John Madden first. John Madden and Pat Summerall first on CBS?
Yes.
Okay, so now it's on every network. Even the ABC and ESPN, well, you have their set of package. So HBO, I think that is correct, actually.
Yeah, this is far from the worst. Far.
No, but I understand the point, though. Like, why would you rebrand something that works in HBO?
Okay, why did Coca-Cola go to the new Coke?
They were trying something.
And that was stupid.
Yeah.
And it didn't work, and they had to run back and go, yeah, here's the original.
When people said, I don't like the new Coke, let me go over to Pepsi. They're like, whoa.
You're right, exactly.
We don't want you to go to Pepsi now. Hold on.
Correct.
There's a podcast about that, by the way, the Pepsi versus Coke wars. Holy smokes. That was very personal because Pepsi was second for a long time. That's lagging behind greatly.
and they had to try to rebrand as much as possible. Like, what can we do? Oh, I know. We'll have Michael Jackson do our commercials.
Right.
Then he got his hair on fire. So, I mean, yeah. So, the same thing. HBO, those letters still resonate with me. So, call it Max. People are like, what is that?
Right. And even with the, at least New Coke, they still called it Coke. I saw somebody say this is like if the Yankees and the Mets combined rosters and then named the team the Mets.
Pizza Hut back in 2009 named their company The Hut.
No shot.
They had to run back. Oh, people didn't know we have pizza here. Pizza Hut! Yeah, there's a lot of stupid ideas by corporate executives.
You want to name some in particular that you've worked for?
I told you the one where the MLB playoffs are going on. I got chastised in a meeting. Why are you giving scores of games that are not on our air? Because I do the sports and the Major League playoffs are going on. Are the Cubs in it or the Sox? No. Then don't give the scores.
There are a lot of bad ideas by corporate executives. How about this one, Eric?
None of whom have ever been on the air.
How about this one, Eric? Here's something. Eric is a suit. He would never have me do this. Bears-Packers, Monday Night Football, right? I'm doing a remote at a bar against the Bears and Packers. Just on the air. Just it's like, who's listening to me? I'm like, someone decided to sell that. I got it. Not an appearance. A remote. We're live here watching the Bears and Packers. And we can't talk about it because that's illegal. So we're just hanging out, as I did the show with Kevin Butler. Around the NFL is next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap and Jay Hood experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It is time to go around the National Football League right here on ESPN 1000 and stream on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, we got Deal Breakers coming up at 8:35. Wait until you hear we got for you for Deal Breakers. 8:35 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
If you've heard of Puck.News before, they broke a story that Jeff Bezos hasn't made a bid and doesn't plan to make a bid on the Washington Commanders. That report has led to many, many reports. FrontOfficeSports.com, ESPN.com have all followed suit. Bezos is out. No chance he buys the Washington Commanders.
Let me ask you a question. Would you like for Bezos to own one of your favorite teams?
If he's going to spend like Cohen, yeah. I'll take any new money billionaire that wants to buy one of my favorite teams, if they're actually going to spend money on it instead of treating it like a write-off and just some little profit thing, then yes, I'm interested. But no, I don't, like, if he's going to buy it and then just, like, that's an extra revenue stream and I'm not going to spend on it, then don't buy my team. Stay away.
Well, since we're talking about this in the NFL realm, because of the salary cap constraints, you know, Shay, Cap, that he'd be trying to go for it because he's not in it to lose. He's not one of these other owners that just wants to sit on his boat and say, I own an NFL team. Your team any good? Nope, but I'm a billionaire. I'm just wondering whether or not, because that used to be the dream, right? I know that you've done a show, and I know I've done a show over the years, especially in the 90s. We said, you know, it would be great to own the Cubs. You know, it would be great to own the Bears, Mark Cuban. Because I was a young, hot shot owner at the time.
Correct.
You recall this, right?
And there are a lot of people who have worked around him said, you do not want him owning your team. You do not.
You know the point, though. Like, so Bezos would be that guy, that newcomer coming in with all his billions of dollars.
But people, these guys are businessmen. Steve Cohen, it sounds like, doesn't care. He just wants to spend and win.
Yeah.
Same guy, Joe Lacob, in Golden State. That's why we saved that cut, where he said, all I care about is championship. Most people who are successful in business are not just handing billions of dollars to the franchise and spending that they can't afford. I don't mean they can't. The franchise can't support just because your favorite team, they want to win. That's just not how these guys do it.
I'd like to know the logistics of that. Say, for instance, that he did get the, he locked in with Washington. How does that work with Amazon and the games beyond Amazon? Can he be the owner of Amazon and the owner of the NFL without any problem?
It sounds like it, because the other bit of this story is the story came out that he wasn't going to bid on the Commanders. It's been suggested he's likely to wait until the Seahawks become available.
Okay. Better franchise.
It's a really good franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And who owns it? Paul Allen's widow still owns it, right?
Yes. I believe so.
That's good.
It was in a Washington Post article attributed to an unnamed person with knowledge of the NFL's inner workings. This quote, Bezos knows that Seattle is sitting there.
Hmm.
I think he got naming rights on that stadium too, right? Amazon, aren't they on that stadium?
At where?
Seattle.
No, I don't believe it. In the Quest Field?
Is it still Quest Field?
There was something, right, I think there was something in Seattle where Amazon and climate change or somehow partnered to name one of those stadiums.
Oh, that's the arena.
That's where the Kraken play. I was just
that's
there.
It. Okay.
Climate Pledge Arena.
Yes, Lemon Pledge Arena is where they
climate.
Play.
Climate. Like
what
the weather outside.
Oh, it's fine. Weather's fine.
No,
but that
that's
Lemon
the
Pledge,
name.
Lemon Pledge, excuse me. Lemon Pledge Arena, and it's amazing. Pledge has been around a long time. I didn't know they had that kind of money to spend on an arena. It's amazing.
Zero carbon emission arena in the United States. It's called Climate Pledge. A pledge to be good to the climate. Can't buy a plastic bottle of water in there. Not Lemon Pledge. That's a different product.
I don't care. It just has a good shine to it.
Wow.
All right, go ahead.
Wow.
Well, did we hear what the Lions did yesterday? Draft rumor season in full effect. Nobody knows what the Lions are going to do. And yesterday, they hosted C.J. Stroud. Everybody knows six teams at least have been in contact with the Arizona Cardinals about moving up for pick 3. I think everybody kind of assumed the Lions would go up there for Will Anderson until they brought in C.J. Stroud on a pre-draft visit.
I don't believe they'll go quarterback in that spot. Do you?
I don't. I think they're taking somebody that impacts them right away.
On the line?
Yeah, I'm thinking Tyree Wilson, Jalen Carter, Will Anderson if he's there.
Would Matt Millen take Bijan Robinson?
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Probably would.
Matt Millen.
It's like Matt Millen in that spot would take a wide receiver, I'm sure.
Ask the Lions fan across from you. He'll tell you the Matt Millen era is gone.
That's just kind of funny. I was thinking about those three wide receivers back-to-back-to-back drafts in the first round. Matt Millen, he just wanted speed. He's looking for the next guy. Why do I think they're going to go to the line? I think they'll go lineman in that spot in the draft.
I think it's going to be somebody that gets to the quarterback or is a run stuffer. One of the two. I think it's Tyree Wilson if Will Anderson's not there.
I think so, too.
Because they have him and Aiden Hutchinson? Whoa.
I'd like to know also what the window is for the Lions to be able to do something here. Because, listen, I understand that Jared Goff, man, is the quarterback for this team. But my God, man. I mean, I don't know what to expect next. Don't be the Vikings and be a quarterback away from where you got to be. If you're a Lions fan, you don't want that. Like, whatever you saw from the Lions last year, it was encouraging for sure. Right up to the last game of the season. Entertaining to the last game of the season. Like, wait a minute. They pushed the Packers out? That was as good as a victory for them as anything else. But don't rest your laurels on Goff and think, man, that he can help you out and get to the Super Bowl. I'm not so sure about that.
He's already taken the Rams there.
That was the Rams. Tailor-made offense for him. If I'm a Lions fan, I'm concerned.
Isn't the Lions fan the offense, though, sort of the same thing? They've got the offensive line figured out. They've got the running backs. They've got the wide receivers. It's just the quarterback position. Like you brought up the window. What I think's fascinating about it is we've seen in the AFC East, the Patriots went down, and Buffalo was savvy with the Josh Allen selection. They rose up to take over that division. And then you go here, the Packers are going down. And if the Lions want to extend the window a little bit, you take C.J. Stroud, all of a sudden, are you the team that rises up and takes their place?
See? That's what I'm saying. I'm good. Okay, so I'm not going to say go quarterback, Shay. I won't. But I'm just concerned about what's next at the quarterback spot. Any team is, but the Lions in particular. You got some special cooking there.
They have a chance.
Yeah, they do.
By the way, sidebar, may I approach?
In the middle of the around the NFL?
Yes.
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
3126 million for the great Howard Enkin.
Simon.
Put that lawyer on your phone. It is now called Lumen Field in Seattle. Just so we're accurate here, I don't want to give you bad information. Not Climate Pledge is the hockey. Lumen Field was the corporate name of CenturyLink. That was what it was called.
Yeah.
They changed their name to Lumen, the company. They are now on the stadium. It's Lumen Field.
I see. Well, here's the thing that's surprising to me about that is that I thought that they, you know, a really good clothing company, but the idea that they could put their name on a stadium, Lululemon, pretty good.
Lumen. L-U-M-E-N.
What is that?
Lumen. Wow. Get this guy's hearing check.
I don't know.
Lumen Technologies.
Yeah. They make the clothes. You got some. I've seen you with the little flowered shirt. It's pretty good. We had deal breakers, wow. Right? What?
It's not Lululemon. It's Lumen. L-U-M-E-N.
What's this guy talking about, Danny? He says lemon.
Wow.
We got deal breakers coming up next. Danny's blind over there looking at Shay, and he needs to stop it. Deal breakers coming up at 8:30. Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Here's today's headline with Captain Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Chicago Bulls and Zach LaVine dropped 39 points yesterday, 30 of them in the second half, and helped erase a 19-point deficit to Toronto, making the Bulls the first 10 seed ever to win a play-in tournament game. They will face Miami and South Florida on Friday. The White Sox and Cubs both have the day off. The Cubs lost yesterday to Seattle by a score of 5-2 at the friendly confines. The Sox lost to Minnesota by a score of 3-1. The Tampa Bay Rays will chase history this afternoon against the Boston Red Sox. The Rays won last night 9-7 to extend their start to 12-0, putting them one win short of the best Major League start to a season since 1900. Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
Time for Deal Breakers here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. We do it every Thursday at 8:35. To remind you, we will crosstalk with Adam Abdallah coming up at 10 for as he's in for Greeny. Carmen Yurko 12-2. Waddle and Sylvie 2-6. Tyler Aki from 6-8 right into Freddie and Fitzsimmons right here on Chicago's Home for Sports ESPN 1000. Deal Breakers, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, boys, let's get into it. Your daughter is in her mid-20s and dating a new guy. She's kept you at arm's length about it. She's refused to show you photos or talk much about him until she knows that it's serious. She wants to be comfortable before you know much about this guy or meet him. Mm-hmm. Now she's at the point where she's ready for that, and you invite them to come over for dinner. She preps you. He's 20 years older than she is. Oh. You're already not thrilled about this, and then they get to your place for dinner and you see the guy. He's your former co-worker, and you worked close with him. What do you do?
Hey!
I want my daughter to be happy. And if you be a Budinsky and say, I don't want you dating that guy, unless there's a valid reason that he was, you know, an axe murderer, you have to let your kids make their own choices, or you're going to put a wedge between, if they get married, you're going to put a wedge into the relationship. Take it from someone who's a parent of four. And I got two daughter-in-laws and one about to be. Yes.
Cap, your daughter's 20. And that guy's 40.
Okay. Again, if you what are you going to do? Forbid her? And then she says, okay, Dad, see you later.
Well, that isn't necessary to be a lifetime movie. It doesn't have to necessarily be that. What I'm saying is that the guy is 40 years old and your daughter's 20. You worked with this guy. That was your coworker.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there's a divide because it's like
That'd be a long, long conversation with that former coworker, wouldn't it? What are you doing with a 20-year-old? And why is it my daughter? And what do you see in her? What do you have in common?
And he says, we have a lot in common. Besides, and I treat her well. And she says to you, yeah. Dad, he treats me amazingly well. And we have an awesome relationship. And I could see myself marrying this guy.
Would that be the end of the conversation or would you extend it? I think you'd have more to ask, wouldn't you?
I would have a lot of questions. But if I saw that my daughter was completely happy and that she was being treated in a tremendous fashion, who am I to tell her what her level of happiness should be?
Hey, Cap, what if you went to the strip club with this guy? Y'all hung out.
You had
some dollars around.
So?
Mm-mm. He's told you about his former conquests. You've shared details with this man.
Again, what does that matter? Now, if you, again, hon, do you know that he served 10 years for whatever? That's a different conversation. Oh, he never told me that. But if he's a good dude, you hung out. Yeah, it's not a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, it definitely is a deal breaker because it's a conversation that you got to have. First of all, I'm asking him, what do you have in common with a 20-year-old? You're 40 years old. I mean, what do you have in common with her? And then all the stuff you used to tell me about you nailing women in the alley, in the back of your car.
Oh, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, well, that wasn't part of this discussion, well, first of all.
No, yes, it is. I mean, he's my good friend. I know every intimate detail. For someone who's nosy like you, that wants to know every detail about everything, you would know everything about this guy. And so because you know that salacious information, you got to think, okay, you're a good enough guy to work with, but can I just let you in, hon, on what I know about this guy? Because you'd have more of a 411 about him than she would.
Okay.
Would you reveal that information to her? I think you would.
Well, if there was something that I thought was a real red flag, but if the fact that we went out after work before he ever knew my daughter, no. I disagree. I would support my daughter. My support is with my daughter. Mm-hmm. I don't have one, but if I did, mm-hmm. I have four sons.
Mm-hmm. Hoodie's like, this guy used to, he was a regular at the neighborhood brothel. he was hanging around the local whorehouse. This guy, I mean, what are you telling me about nailing women in the alleys? Like, what are we doing?
Well,
this scumbag.
That's pretty much what you laid out there, though, isn't it? I mean, every intimate detail.
You guys keep piling more on top of this poor bastard.
Well, Cappy's not a saint. He's been nailing your 20-year-old daughter. He's not a saint.
Hold on a second.
He's 40. He's a man.
He's a shaky bastard, this poor guy.
He's Mike Gundy.
If they're dating and my daughter's happy and they've been together and I've let this relationship progress, he's not nailing her.
He has a porn actor stash.
That's right. He's Vince McMahon.
Cease.
You guys are like, no.
What? No, Cap.
You guys just keep piling more stuff on this poor bastard. He may be a wonderful guy.
Oh, God. All right. How about this?
He's Daniel Rabinowitz. I know his family. He's a good man. He's a little old, but I mean, I'd want him to marry my daughter. Absolutely. He's a monster. Absolutely not. That beautiful flower that you have as a daughter, 20 years old. Her flowers, her petals are being picked off by this 40-year-old. You want him to deflower your daughter?
Well, by that point, yeah. How hot is she?
Your daughter?
Oh, Lord.
You hillbilly. What is
Oh, God.
You nasty hillbilly.
What is going on in here?
Is my daughter hot? Nail her. Take that.
So long, everybody.
Again, all kidding aside, as a parent, you have to support your kids unless they're...
Cap.
That's the neighborhood heroin dealer. Okay, that's a different issue.
But you know every detail of this guy.
Doesn't matter.
He drinks. he's a drunkard.
Cap, wow.
You've been out drinking with him. You're one can Dan. You go, I'm out. And you got to like take this guy out. You got to get got to pour him into an Uber. And he's going to marry your daughter. You want those genes in your family? Absolutely not.
Like if she came home and said, oh, he's just a wonderful guy. He's a man of, you know, God, and he's this, and he doesn't drink. I'm like, hang on a second. I could shed some light on who this guy really is. That said, none of that was in what Snorling read. It was, he's 20 years older and you know him. I stand with my daughter.
It's fine, but that guy's got tread on his tires. I'm just telling you. And she doesn't have any tread.
This guy worked with Jordan Belfort. He's one of the background guys in The Wolf of Wall Street.
You guys are awful.
What did I say wrong?
What?
Go ahead.
I want to double. This is a double-barreled deal breaker because I want to flip the script. You're the boyfriend. You show up to dinner and you worked with her father. What do you do?
Oh, God. Hi, David. Jonathan, you know me and been dating your daughter and I'd like to marry her. Oh, I'd want to get your permission to marry your daughter.
Well, how long have they been together?
For months now, behind your back. You were working. But we've been hooking up for a while here. And she's the best.
Best I've ever had, David. He's not even calling him Cap anymore. It's just David.
I mean,
let me just tell you, she's the best I've ever had. So I want to marry her. It didn't get any better than her. Than Daisy. Daisy Cap.
Whatever, I wouldn't name my daughter Daisy.
That wouldn't be your choice. Be you and your wife's choice. But go ahead. Me and Daisy, though, she's the best. I want to marry her. I know we've been friends for a long time, but whew, I need a piece.
Wow. You are out
of
your
mind. What did I say wrong? What?
When I went to Ron Semitas and said I'd like to marry Mindy, I didn't say, hey, Ron.
Let me tell you.
Marty, she's deceased, her mom.
Yeah.
Ron. I'd like to get your permission to marry Mindy. I need a piece bad.
I didn't say that. Oh, no! I gotta have that. Wow!
Your daughter's a freak. I gotta have her.
just telling you.
No! Again, I stand with my daughter. Okay. And if the guy is a solid human being, I happen to work with him and I know something. Whatever. Whatever.
Deal Breakers continues next on Cap and J Hood.